Comedian George Carlin used to jab good-naturedly at his Catholic upbringing before he became thoroughly cynical about religion. Well, in a skit featuring a bright, pesky grade school student himself, he would find a trick question to stump the teacher, usually a priest or a nun. Father, if God is all-powerful, could he make a rock so heavy that even he couldn't lift it? In a more elaborate example, Carlin imagined a Catholic on an ocean cruise who realized that he had not made his Easter duties, that is, receiving confession and communion before Trinity Sunday. Well, as midnight was nearing on the deadline Sunday, the Catholic is seeking the cruise chaplain for confession and communion. Well, the ship's doctor told him that the priest had fallen into a coma. However, he was expected, implausibly, to recover in a few hours. It's too late, the passenger thought. I'm going to fall into sin. Carlin, at this point, pauses dramatically and says, then the ship crosses the international dateline. Hopefully, the ship did not sink at that point, and the passenger would have been doomed to hell, maybe. These preposterous examples reflect a tactic called reductio ad absurdum, used to discredit an idea. We can reduce any good teaching, if pushed to extremes, to absurdity. Well, in our gospel today, the Sadducees, who denied life after death, are pestering Jesus. To trick him, they propose a wild scenario that reminds me of the 1954 movie One Bride for Seven Brothers. Jesus renders their question ineffectual by showing that resurrection is not mere resuscitation. Resurrection surpasses our human understanding, and that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a God of the living, not the dead. Maybe ask yourself, when have you heard the Bible used to entrap people in an argument? Or have you ever misused a teaching to prove a point, or scripture as a proof text? If life after death were merely resuscitation, the Sadducees' complicated example might present a true challenge. Well, one wonders what Jesus might make of well-intentioned obituaries today that picture an elderly couple, one of whom had passed away earlier, with the caption, "Together again." This is an example of what theologians call the domestication of heaven. We have a tendency to project our earthly happiness onto a much bigger screen. Our bodies, our forms of relationships and priorities, our national laws, even our natural laws, all of these are likely to change as we move from this life to the next. So any attempt to transpose our picture of this life to the next, keeping the details and possessions and presuppositions the same, is likely to be incomplete. Jesus struggles, or suggests, that the rules governing our earthly behavior will become irrelevant when we experience resurrected life. So that young girl's question about what heaven is like, continue to ask it. The Sadducees' mistake seems to be a kind of literal-mindedness, a failure of imagination. This calls to mind St. Paul's assertion when he wrote, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, what God has in store for us in the kingdom." So we are foolish when we try to restrict our vision of the afterlife to the details of this life. In their attempt to conceive the inconceivable, the Sadducees have indeed reduced God's kingdom, our heaven, infinite and immeasurable, to something very trivial. Jesus ends his rebuttal of the Sadducees with a declaration that in death we all belong to the God of the living. Our faith says that death brings an engagement with God. This face-to-face presence, encounter, will be, so to speak, heaven. God becomes everything to us. So at death, if God becomes our all in all, it would seem odd for someone who is experiencing God directly, face to face, to say, "Oh God, you really look pretty good, but I can't wait to see my husband or wife." The paradox that Christian faith presents is that only through death can we experience the ultimate encounter with the living God, whose presence is eternal life. Most of us don't think very often about rising from the dead. It's challenging enough each morning to rise from the bed. Yet even when rising from the bed, every morning, out of fidelity to living Jesus' good news, is an act of faith in the resurrection. Fidelity in our everyday tasks and relationships is how we are true followers of Jesus, seeking union with God. The Maccabee family story in the Old Testament reading today gives us a glimpse of how the people of Israel developed their ideas about eternal life. They based their understanding of eternal life on God's goodness and justice. They could not conceive that a God of justice would allow the innocent to simply suffer and disappear. They knew there must be eternal restitution for God's faithful who suffer unjustly in this life. The Maccabee family sacrificed their lives to proclaim that faithfulness to God and integrity are more important than life itself. So who has inspired you with their belief in God's power to bring life from death? How does your belief in being raised from the dead make a difference in your daily living? Jesus resisted those who sought to reduce the unimaginable love, justice, mercy, and majesty of God's kingdom to an amplified version of our human condition. As we approach the table of the Lord, our faith tells us that heaven might be conceived as the ultimate communion with God, face to face. When it comes to heaven, we cannot understand. We can only imagine.